Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Hope you're having a wonderful Saturday. You're watching a brand new Ike Live show tonight, and we've got the Uncle Larry guys on tonight. So happy to have them in studio. Real quick, I know you look to my right, like, man, Eric just got hot. But
Eric's hair just got shorter.
Eric's hair got shorter. Unbelievable.
Yeah. His hair is longer than mine.
His hair is longer than yours. Yeah, it's long and luscious.
It is thicker.
It is thicker.
Well,
the key to Eric's hair, and I'm just, I don't even know this for a fact, but don't wash it. Never shower. Showering's overrated. Don't wash the hair.
You strip the nutrients.
Strip the nutrients off of it. Look at that. And Johnny's hair, beautiful. Never wash.
Johnny's hair's longer than mine too.
I know. That's what I mean. Showering's overrated.
It's the new America. Everything's backwards.
Everything's backwards. Right. The hydro collider.
Brian secretly is like, I knew this about Becky. Her big balls. Now our hair's getting shorter.
Thank you.
What?
Big balls.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I never saw the foyer finished.
Oh. Tonight's the first night you saw
yeah.
it?
Yeah. When we do that? In like July?
It looks
yeah.
amazing.
So
looks
everyone amazing. Yeah. knows we have one of these ridiculous two-story foyers because Mike had to have a two-story foyer.
I'm a Dago. If you're a Dago, you have to have a two-story foyer.
It yep. is.
Come on.
Been this like thorn in my side since we built this home. I hate two-story foyers.
Why? Why do you hate them?
Okay, so because what do you do with it? And if anyone,
I hate this long driveway.
So take a look
this
at
this damn
me.
Walk-in closet.
Damn it,
Ross, where you at with this?
So
all
like,
this square footage.
I know. Yeah. It's yeah, so what much space.
I've got all this
bedroom.
Decorating
Dave,
space.
What is Jeeves saying right now? Jeeves is at home listening to this.
So, anyways, I hate wide open white spaces. I mean, think about the way I dress. Our home looks like that. There's color. There's layers. There's wallpaper. And to me,
Gold
it's just
LeMay.
This huge. Yes, everywhere.
Leather.
And it's this huge
leather.
White space, and it echoes. And it's not warm. It's not whatever. So Brian and I have been talking about this for 10 years. We finally did wainscoting. Brian did it. I say the royal we, but I really didn't do it. And so it's like all over, and there's this whole arched area. It's so cool. And so I came to Brian and his guys one day, and I said, listen, I don't think we should paint this white. I think this needs to be like dark, like almost black, like so dark, a saturated color. And his guys, of course, are like, oh, yeah. And I tell Mike and everybody else, they're like, okay, you're crazy. Yeah. Why are you going to do that? Well, yeah. I did it. And it turned out amazing.
Yeah, it's a dark blue.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the color? What's it called?
There's actually some green in it. I can't remember what it is because
oh, really?
It's actually called green something.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But
well, it's
in,
a deep,
in there.
Deep dark blue.
Yeah.
And as soon as I mean, that popped. Wow.
It's dope.
So, anyways,
so I told Becky she had big balls for going for it.
Yeah.
Big balls.
Hence the reference.
Oh, okay.
Right. Back to you, Michael.
All right, back to me. We wanted to have you. I'm glad you came up because just recently, like this is cool when things happen and then we can come on the show a day or two later, talk about them. But Ike Foundation, big moment a few days ago with a new program. Talk a little bit about that because I think here's – before you say this, I think everybody assumes the Ike Foundation is just like – we're only doing stuff here
right,
in
right.
this little piece of New Jersey. But the Ike Foundation's a national foundation, right?
Yeah. So we're right. nationwide. Clearly, we're based out of here. All of our events take place here because we can do them, host them, what have you. But we do donate product all over the country to groups that meet our mission. So we're sending rods, reels, tackle boxes all over the country to these groups. But this year we decided to take on something new, and we've stocked a handful of lakes in this area for our kids' events, but we wanted to start stocking lakes across the country. So in different waterways and lakes that, you know, could assist kids in fishing urban areas. So our first one, we've got a bunch planned for the spring, because we can't stock a lot right now. But our first one was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that was outside of our general northeast.
Yeah.
And we worked with some really awesome folks, between Gene over at Bass, who connected us with a lot of the Oklahoma wildlife folks, and then Alan McGuckin, who, you know, works with them as well.
Yeah.
We got so much press and news coverage. It was
yeah.
pretty
was
awesome
success.
How receptive
yeah.
they were.
Yeah.
And it was yeah. it was great.
That sound it sounds complicated, like to be able to stock, right? It's not that easy.
It's
right?
not that
a
easy.
A lot of the fish and game folks don't want to stock, or, you know, that had to be a hard process.
You have to have biologists involved, right. And then they have to, within the state, then say, okay, you can have the permitting, and then you have to use this stocker because that's whoever's allowed to stock within that state.
Yeah, right.
So there's a lot.
Yeah,
that
this
you
is
have
a cool
do.
Concept, though, Pete, because we're not talking about these like remote trout streams or remote reservoirs that we're stocking. These are urban fisheries. Mm-hmm. These are places that are in cities, in big suburbs,
right.
And places
yeah.
that have water.
Where a lot of people can access
where
them.
Where a lot of people yeah. can access them, and yeah. where people that don't normally fish can then go and actually catch something. That's
right.
key to this thing. And I love it. I think it's a program that's going to keep growing. So
yep.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah. So, and then before the year is out, which is only a few weeks away, we actually have a handful of high schools that we've selected to support. So they're going to be getting rods and reels, Bass University subscriptions, because mm. that's what they've asked for, which is pretty
Hell
exciting.
Yeah. That is cool.
And then some money to help them with some other supplies mm. and getting the kids the transportation they mm. need to get to the waterways next year. So
nice.
Pretty excited to be able to do that.
Yeah. Cool. So Tulsa's cool. the first one. What's in the queue? Where else are you looking?
So Delaware is actually next. We've been in communication with them because we took one of our kids' events to Delaware last year at mm-hmm. Lumps Pond.
Right.
So we've been talking to the folks there, and in the spring they do yeah. want us
and
to
And they've
help
got some
stocking.
Fisheries in Wilmington. They've got some mm-hmm. city ponds, and of course the Christiana River runs right through Wilmington. So
right.
they've got some great urban fisheries
yep.
that could use help. So it's
yep.
cool. Very
yep.
cool. Good job, Beck.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I love that.
Congrats.
There is, real quick, though, people are watching and listening and saying, oh, this is cool. I want to help. There is a way to support Ike Foundation in this program, right? How do they do it?
Yep. So you can head to the IkeFoundation.org. There's places there where you can donate. You can make it specific because we have a scholarship for graduating high school students. You can make it specifically for the scholarship fund. You can make it for just our general fund, which goes towards the stocking or sending the product out to all these different organizations. But check that out. See what we're doing. The scholarship dinner is happening this year. So a month from now,
glad
we will all
back.
Be
yeah.
gathered and having fun. And we do have, we are able to have gaming tables this year.
We're gambling.
No, it's not.
You can't use that word?
No, there's gaming tables.
Oh, gaming. We're gaming. It's gambling. We're gambling.
Can't say that.
You can't really gamble, so you get like you win more tickets to be able to try to win prizes.
Oh, like, it's like okay. Skee ball?
Skee ball?
Yeah, you get the tickets and then you go cash them in for some dumb.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like
prizes.
Skee ball, except.
But these are good prizes.
This is, yeah.
Texas Hold'em.
Yeah, yeah, we're yeah. actually like, yeah.
Cool.
Oh, my God. Hold'em goes on for hours.
It can.
Well, I don't think it's Texas. No, I think we just have blackjack and.
Shout out to Mark Jeffries, by the way. I don't know. It just came to mind.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Mark Jeffries. Yeah, yeah. Mark Jeffries is.
Merry Christmas, Mark.
Yeah, Merry
he
Christmas.
He brought us all together.
He did.
10
he
years
did.
Ago.
He did.
Here's the thing that to go back on it a little
yeah.
bit, and this makes us feel old, but it's good to remember how it all happened. It has been 10 years, man.
Yeah, this
That's
is February.
That's a crazy amount of time. It's been 10 years, yeah. and I. Vividly remember before we started this, Jeffries for a year, maybe more, saying you guys have to do a podcast. I'm saying, what the hell? Why? Like, what is it? What's a? You know, like I don't even really know. You know, like what is this? Like,
yeah.
why would you have one for fishing? Like, and he had to sell us
yeah.
on this concept.
And he was right.
He was right.
He was so far ahead.
He was
of
right.
Everybody.
Yeah. He was right.
Do you remember some
cool.
of the dumb things we did at the beginning, though?
Oh,
it was
God.
Like, we're just going to play this video and everyone's going
to
talk about
pretend
it.
To, pretend to watch it for the first time.
Our commentary
and we're so
was
bad. Like,
was bad.
Oh, God.
No, we're
yeah.
not good at that.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
all right, that didn't work.
Things worked and things didn't. So. But in general, they work because we're still here.
I always had a baby monitor in my hand.
That's
so
right.
if I had to like
true.
Run upstairs yeah. to sleeping children.
We replaced Dave for one show.
No, it was like two shows.
Was it two shows?
I was out of town too, and then I'm getting calls from Anna. Anna was me, Bob was you.
Oh man. Wow. That's bad. That's bad.
There were several characters. There
yeah.
there've been many.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eric was actually the second intern.
Yeah. What? Dave. Shout out Dave.
Oh, Dave. Yeah.
Dave.
Intern.
Dave. Yes. But what was his AKA?
Tom.
Dave. AKA Tom.
I was doing good because they actually called me by my real name. I'm good about myself.
Oh, that's great. That's
You're
great.
Notorious for that.
Oh, yeah. I butcher people's names, but once I get to know you, I get it right, you know.
Maybe.
It was good, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been fun.
Very interesting. All right, so that's the Ike Foundation update.
Okay. Thank
Eric
you,
can come back now.
Well, thank you, Beth.
Yeah,
I feel uncomfortable over here. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
I still don't know what I'm doing.
These years.
It don't matter.
Oh, my gosh.
Hook 'em early. That's your tag phrase.
It is.
And that's key. And I love what you guys are doing with your program, because what we learned, especially this year, is when somebody gets introduced to fishing before the age of 13, they're going to be fishermen for life.
Wow.
And that's a huge deal.
Yeah,
so,
that's a big deal.
You know,
yeah.
what we're all doing through the social media and exposing kids to this awesome sport is just a great thing. It's a great thing for our sport.
Yeah.
You know, so I love that.
And one big thing that we always try to reiterate with Uncle Larry's is it doesn't matter where you're from. I mean, I had a job 2 years ago where I was teaching kids how to fish in the middle of Manhattan.
That's dope.
And we were catching 20-pound carp.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that event.
These kids are looking at me like I got 6 heads. When I'm taking them into the middle of Central Park, and I'm like, we're about to catch this here. Watch. No one's paying attention. Kids want to throw the football. They want to play frisbee. They want to run around. There was this one kid. His name was Isaac. I'll never forget him. And Isaac, while everyone else was just messing around, doing whatever they wanted to do, he was sitting in that corner with that rod at attention. Ready.
Yeah.
And then guess what? Guess who caught the first 20-pound carp?
Yeah. Isaac.
20-pounder.
Yeah. Isaac did. Isaac. And guess what? You want to know how many kids were throwing a football after they saw Isaac catch that carp?
They saw that shit go down.
Zero. Yeah. Zero. They were asking me questions. Yeah. They were asking Isaac questions because Isaac's the resident, local legend now.
Yeah. Right. Isaac now.
He instantly became
Isaac,
a legend.
Give me the juice.
Yeah. Isaac's posting on Instagram. His spot's getting burned. Yeah. But it doesn't matter, man. It really, it's like you could have an adventure anywhere you're from.
Anywhere. That's true. Anywhere you're from. And Pete, the thing you said about getting started early, I agree with that. And Brian, jump back to what you said when we were off camera.
Yes.
Which is very, very true.
On
the record.
Okay.
Is we were the early version.
I mean, same thing. What their
Uncle
movement
Larry's.
Is. Yeah.
Brian and Dave and I and a couple of our other cronies were the early version of Uncle Larry. We were less handsome and less technically sophisticated than you guys are. But we were the early
just
version
as willing to trespass.
Just as willing to
hypothetically.
Yeah, but that
theory.
Courtroom.
Yeah.
When you're that age, it's fine.
Yeah, but that spirit was the same. Like, Brian said that to me when the camera was off, and I'm like, you're right. Because, I can remember our mindset was exactly the same. It was like, no, we didn't have the Google Earth. Mm-hmm. We had literally, paper maps. This is so embarrassing.
How did you survive?
Old school paper maps.
Dude, you just rolled up your sleeves and figured something
out.
But
the walking, the hiking.
You're driving past something. You know.
Yeah. The under, it's all new. It's this thing.
Right.
But then when you get to it, it's like the glory, and then that time before it actually happens, right? You're looking at it, you're like, and we've had days where, you've had bullshit, you come back dejected and all that work.
I remember when you first got your license and had the Toyota, we went road tripping
everywhere all the time.
Yeah,
so
you had
like the new technology in the game now. Like, one thing I want to ask you to talk about this is ever since using live scope and everything like that, but you're growing up fishing like this.
Yeah.
Like, intuition is such a key element to
big
that.
Big time.
And so when you're growing up without that tech, now that we have it available, how much do those skills and just using that innate ability play into tournament fishing for you now?
I think that's important. I think having it is a lot better than not having it. I think if you have that and then you could put technology to it, that's the magic formula, But we didn't have that technology back then, but
we had a color selector.
We had colors. Yeah, we had that thing back there. It's somewhere back there. But the feeling was the same for what you guys are doing. You know, the feeling was the same for us. And, it's really cool to see it years later, see you guys doing this.
You know, it's funny, too, because people see on Instagram the big fish.
Yeah.
But, and I'm sure especially recently because we've been fishing an area where we've been getting a lot of good bites.
Yeah.
But I think back to Kai and I, about a month before we found this spot, we were going through it. I mean, 8-hour journeys for bites.
For nothing.
I mean, all the spots that we had lined up that first year that were like, okay, these fish are going to be back here in this spot, and they're just not.
Right.
I remember we were sitting out back one night, and I was – there's a video, and I'm looking at Kai. I'm like, yo, bro, are we ever going to catch fish again?
Yeah.
I really didn't know. And then the next day is when we found that spot. But it took us about 4 hours or so to get in there. And that's the part that I think, you know, maybe through the videos sometimes people don't always necessarily get the sense of right away.
Right.
But there's a lot of failure. You know, fishing, I think we'd maybe talked about in Mike Live before, but fishing teaches you to lose way more than you win.
Oh, big
which
time.
I think is an important life skill in general.
Oh, big
time. You
know,
you got to – and what would the wins be without the losses?
I agree. So I think, you know, there's a lot of similarities between what we did when we were young and what you guys are doing. And there's differences. And this is a great segue. And one of the differences, Dave, I'll corner you on it, is, you know, I think when we got to your guys' age, before you made that move, before you guys decided to go to Florida, we would have never took that risk. Like, I think we were a way more conservative version of what you guys are. But you guys decided, I want to hear the story from the beginning.
You guys
decided to take this leap of faith to leave this little tiny state of New Jersey and do this major change, this major exploration.
Well, there was a major world happening going on, too.
Yeah. Well, there was.
So there was.
Well, yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you want to start it, it definitely – you can't tell the story of Uncle Larry Outdoors without telling the story of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was something that affected all of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, us personally, we'd already been thinking about, hey, we want to go somewhere that we could catch fish all year and we can really pursue this, blah, blah, blah. But then, of course, that all came around, and it was this added element of, hey, we're only going to be in our mid-20s one time.
Yeah.
We have a lot of colleagues that, for better or worse, are spending 2 years of their lives inside.
Right.
You know, like just
trapped.
Giving it all up, basically.
Yeah.
And we just refused to do that.
Right.
And it was funny because I didn't know we were moving to Florida days before it happened, hours, you know. I was just randomly staying at Johnny's place in Brooklyn. This is December of 2020.
Wait a minute. You did? It was that quick?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
what?
So listen.
I went down to the duffel bag. I didn't think I was staying.
Oh, yeah. So I'm staying at Johnny's place in Brooklyn, and one random night I get a text at about 3 in the morning from this man right here, and I'll let him take over at this point, but I get this 3 a.m. text, like this epiphany moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like backtrack it just a bit. What is March 2020 when this whole thing started? We were at the Classic.
Yeah.
I got sick with COVID, and I took a week off of work. It was my first week I took off of my job in Manhattan, and I was like, I'm gonna enjoy this week, and we're going to hit all of these spots on the way back home,
yep.
And we're going to have a great time. We're going to hit Tennessee. We're going to hit Virginia.
Yep.
I had some family there.
I remember this. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I get what I think was probably COVID. Like, I was, like, very, very sick on my way up. And I had the family that I was staying with in Virginia had some, like, at-risk people at the time, like, older people staying at the house. I'm like, guys, we got to skip this. Let's book it straight home. We'll go to Long Island. We'll spend the week out. My family lives by the beach. We'll fish there. And then we'll go back to our lives. So we go out there, and I get a call like, hey, don't come to work Monday. Hey, don't come to work Tuesday. Hey, don't come at all. So I'm like, okay, this is strange. So next thing you know, I'm in Long Island at my parents' place for March, April, May. I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
So I can't be 24 years old living at home, but nothing's going on in the city. There was a lot of, you know, social unrest going on in the city as well. And that was happening where I lived in Brooklyn. So I wasn't even able to go to my apartment because they had, like, damaged the street. So there was a couple of months where I wasn't able to actually access my building. So finally it gets to the point I'm allowed to go back. So I'm back there. Eric's over. And I had set up this Spotify playlist. It was Uncle Larry Outdoors, Songs of the Send. And I just opened it up to anyone who wanted to add music to it. I'm like, add the music that you would play on the way to fishing. Just like, so anyways, I'm out 3 a.m. just having one of those, like, listening to Dust in the Wind, like, contemplating your whole life moments. Like, what am I doing here? Like, and this song, Son of It All by Don McCloskey, comes on. Shout out Don McCloskey.
I Dave, never... you know that one, Dave Brodzik?
It's the...
No, no, I was asking about the song, but...
And I'm like, you know what? I gotta make a move. So I'm like, I call Eric. I'm like, dude, I'm going to get in the car in about an hour, and I'm going to drive to Florida.
Just go.
And you can come, or you could stay, but what? I'm going to get in the car and drive to Florida. I'm done.
Yeah.
And he's like,
well, I'm not letting you go by yourself.
So we hit up this guy, Steve Finch, who we had met a couple of months before at the classic.
Yeah.
And shout out Steve Finch, not to plug anyone like an ad, but like if you need some like real media work done in outdoors, Steve Finch is one of the greatest souls on the planet. So just shout out to Steve Finch. None of this is possible without you. So we call up Steve Finch, who knows us from nothing outside of he was one of the first people who saw us doing the interviews at the first classic we went to.
Yeah.
And this guy bought into us and believed in us right away. Like, he believed in us so much that it made me believe in Uncle Larry Outdoors, because I was doing this as a joke and just for fun.
Yeah.
And call up Steve. I'm like, hey, man, like, on our way to Florida, don't really have a plan.
We're escaping from New York.
Right. Yeah. And he's like, come on down. So we go to Steve's. Guy has us over for a week or two, just lets us crash in his house, just join his life, just as host us as best as this guy absolutely
can.
Wow. And we're at Steve's for a while. And
in Tampa,
that's, and it's kind of where I got to like, yeah, dude, I don't want to leave this area. Like, yeah, something's really going on here that's really positive. I really like this.
Steve, we're never leaving.
Never leaving. But that's kind of what it was. It was like, I don't really want to go home, but I can't stay with Steve for free.
Yeah.
So we booked it to a
Airbnb.
An Airbnb.
A $30 a night Airbnb.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Listen.
John, when you were escaping New York, did you have Snake Plissken's hair yet from Escape from New York, or
like
that came
straight,
later?
Straight, like, one on the sides, two on the top kind of guy. You know, like, very much like the Hammers marching in the Pink Floyd videos. That was one of those, like, on the way in and out of work every day.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, Florida has changed me, man. I'll tell you that.
I got the call from you guys.
Yeah.
Like, that morning or something.
The morning they were driving down?
Yeah.
What'd I tell you? Was I just like,
you
yo,
just
Brian,
told me what you were doing. You're
moving
like,
moving to Florida, dude.
Yeah.
It's over.
And, but that's one of those things, though, man. Like this pandemic whole thing, like, could have been the worst or the best moment of your life, like,
yeah,
really. And, like,
yeah,
you know, at the time, a lot of things seemed tough for a long time. But in hindsight, it's like, really, really did try and take that and make that a catalyst for a positive change in our life. And here we are sitting here talking to you guys. It's such a blessing. Like, and it would probably never happens without that. So
right. Yeah, really, we're going to go a little deeper into that in the third segment when we go Dave After Dark. but there was, you know, for as much negative that came in that time period, I saw a lot of positive
positive,
and a lot of other people.
So yeah. Then I want to know from Kai too, because, you know, Johnny and I had driven down there.
Yeah, so it was you and Johnny first. So Kai, you weren't here yet.
No,
you weren't there yet.
So we needed a third because we were trying to get a good situation going.
Yeah.
Like, we need three people to be a part of this.
Yeah.
It was funny because I think it was like just we instantly both were like, yeah, we got to go Kai. You know, it was like there was never really any hesitation.
Yeah.
But what did you think when you got the text from us like, yo, dude, you trying to just like come down to Florida and pursue this?
It was crazy because, like, obviously, as was said, we are all living in pretty tumultuous times during this period.
Yeah.
Pandemic is going on. My whole world is like unraveling. I'm in my first apartment with my girlfriend, like, just moved out of my parents' house, and first place I get is with a girl. That was my first mistake. So, like, I'm going through like the end of that, like, that's falling apart between my fingers, and like trying to figure out like what I'm doing next. My lease is about to be up. I'm in this like loft apartment in Bloomfield, paying like way more than I need to.
Yeah.
She's on her way out. So now I got this place to myself.
Oh, man.
And it's like, all right, what's happening? No job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pandemic's on. And yeah, they hit me up. It was like, yeah, bro, you want to come to Florida? And I'm like, fuck, well, I've always wanted to live in Florida. Like, me and my dad used to, we still do, because that's where they're trying to get to now. But it was just like the perfect storm. It's like, in my brain, I just sat there and I'm like, yo, if I don't do this, this is probably going to be one of those things that I regret for
right.
the rest of my life
kind
of thing. So I was like, by any means necessary, I got to figure this out. Like, I don't care what I got to do. Somebody's got to get this apartment. I'm going to figure out my car situation. My dad's truck from 04. It's still barely running, but it's running.
He means by any means.
By any means. I found somebody to take over my apartment, to just take over the lease. And Eric, I think you came back up to get your tracker.
I did. So we decided that it was crazy, actually, because we were staying in that Airbnb, and we started applying for houses. And we kind of actually hit this wave right before, like, everyone moved down to Florida.
Yeah.
So we were able to – we got the second house that we applied for.
Wow.
You know, Johnny just stuck in there with that corporate job title. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he just hit the application with that.
You mean, applied to rent a house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So – we were living in a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom, like, straight-up spot, you know, family neighborhood.
On a golf course.
We had a golf course as our backyard.
Holy
smokes. Things were going well. But, so, we got this house.
Everyone else is masked up.
So we're doing it, right? But, like, now I got to get back to Jersey to get my Jeep and my tracker, you know, the tools of the trade.
Yeah.
So I fly back up to Jersey. It's like 20 degrees. Kai picks me up. I'm like, oh, my God, this place has never looked more terrible in my life. And then, man, Kai and I sent it 18 hours through the night to get to Florida in two vehicles that had no right even driving into the city.
They shouldn't have made it down the street.
They should have made it to New York, let alone
Let alone us and the people driving them. We were just as messed up as the vehicles.
For example, just so you people know that this is real, you know, Kai's car, every about 20 minutes or so, this is through the middle of the night. It's like midnight. We're going to Virginia on 81. And every 20 minutes or so, I see that right blinker. And I'm like, oh, I know what time it is. That means Kai's car is in low power mode.
Reduced
engine mode.
Whoa!
And we got to pull over to the side of the road while 18 wheelers are just going by us, right? And Kai's he's stopping the car, he's starting it again. He's got
it going to this mode where it wouldn't go over 25 miles per hour. So, like, I have to pull
trick
over,
it.
Turn it off, turn it back
on. Yeah.
Maybe it'll go back to normal. You have to do that a few
times.
Mind you, it is 25 degrees in the Virginia mountains, and we are going up and down. I mean, legitimate, you know, down by Blacksburg, where it really gets mountains.
Oh, yeah.
So we had chosen to take an alternate route, you see, because it was also the inauguration day. So we were fearing that there was something that was going to happen in Washington, D.C. So we're like, we got to go as far away from Washington, D.C. as possible. So if any of you know the route down to Florida from Jersey, we took the 81 route, which
That's
is like
– much longer.
Through the mountains, right? And then we're here. It's us and 18-wheelers.
Yeah,
and Kai going
I know that highway well.
And Kai going into low power.
With a U-Haul trailer.
Oh, God.
Filled with stuff and your track. On the Jeep.
Crazy.
Well, wait a minute. What about your parents? Are they freaking like?
My mom's still scared. She's like,
they're tweaking out. They're tweaking out.
They're like, don't go. Yeah. You know.
You know what though? It was nice because like my parents, like, I guess they saw how serious I was about this.
Yeah.
Like, and where I was at in life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like, yo, maybe he needs this. Maybe he needs to, like, go and really kind of figure it out himself without us being around the corner an hour away. You know what I mean?
This is a great – I mean, this is like a leap of faith, you know, in something – and Kai, you said it. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, right? And it's like – we never did it. I never did, you know, in that stage of my life, I was too scared to do anything like that. But the similarity is anglers that take the leap of faith in tournament fishing. And that happens all the time. And Pete, you and I both did that. You know, that stage where you qualify for the elites. You have this huge bill sitting in front of you.
What do you do?
What do you, you know, but it's one of those chances. You got to take it. You got to do it or you're going to look back. And regret not taking the opportunity.
No, literally.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember sitting in that apartment and just like, if I don't do this, what am I going to be
doing? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kai. You know what I mean? Kai, like, I remember sitting in that apartment being like, yo, are we going to make it? Are we going to get the
If I don't do this, what happens next?
I see myself on the phone trying to sell this to my dad.
Yeah.
and that's a tough sell.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to Florida. There's no job prospect. It's like a total risk, total gamble. You know.
That's why I didn't tell him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, like Eric called me the day they went down, and you know, I'm his dad. And right?
We agreed on that.
What were
your words of wisdom?
Yo, dude, he was literally like,
I was pumped.
No, he was like, man, I remember this, Brian. He was like, man, if I was in your shoes, I wouldn't be doing anything different. he had nothing negative to say.
No, but I remember the feeling that I got, and I know Eric, after you know leaving us and just going through a time, just trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
And he went through a lot of tough times on his own too, and I just felt like this was the move. Like there was nothing bad about it. I just felt this is right.
You said you're home.
I did
that.
Say that, yeah.
You
yeah.
saw me, I was barefoot out in the parking lot, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And he was like, yo, you're home.
Well, it's interesting, though, because Dave, you and Brian did a Florida adventure when you were young.
I remember this.
I've been moving to Florida for like 30 years.
You're still moving to Florida.
I've made offers on houses. Like, it's never worked out for us. Like, just never did, man.
Shout out to the Black Nitro, right?
Oh, yeah, I mean, she was seaworthy.
Yeah.
Wait, 95. real quick, you have to go over the story of anchoring up on a coral reef in the Keys.
Allegedly.
We can talk. Statute of limitations.
Now, we were set up. We were played by a guy at a tackle shop,
that owned the tackle shop. He sold us a couple topo maps. And we're like, where can we go get some? We just wanted to catch barracuda. We didn't even anything. So he like. We don't know that he's sending us out to the Key Largo John Pennycamp National Reef Park. We don't know where we're going.
Yeah.
We go out there, man.
In a 17-foot, 95 black nitro with a 75 horse on the back.
What? Yeah, we're a couple miles offshore. And
in Florida.
We're like, you know, you can see the reef. We're like, oh, this must be where it is.
Dude, I just remember, on the front deck of the boat, like... Watching this anchor out there.
A claw anchor, giant claw, scooping up all the historical coral that's been there for centuries.
Millions
of years. There were Coast Guard guys like working on some kind of buoy.
Guys working on buoys, right?
Yeah, they were working on something. I remember them looking at us like.
It was a radio tower.
Yeah.
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 But there was a glass bottom tour boat. Now, I hooked a barracuda. Brian jumped in the water with his goggles and an underwater camera to take a picture of the fight.
Underwater disposable. Guys,
we had disposable wind-up. That's all we had. That was the technology. Yeah. Disposable wind-up camera. Yeah, but it was waterproof. I'm fighting this fish, and Brian's underwater the whole time. The whole time, the captain on the tour boat's got me on the intercom, like, telling me it's a yelling at me, basically. I mean, it's a national park. We're not allowed to be fishing here.
And yeah,
embarrassing. This is why you're fighting the fish.
While I'm fighting the fish. And all these people are, like, just hanging. They weren't even, I felt like such an asshole, you know what I mean? Like, I felt so stupid, man.
It's a black nitro. Anchored up.
With the New Jersey NJ on the side.
Number. Man.
We probably had black t-shirts on. You know, like, that's what we wear up here, dude. Like,
every single boat in Florida is a white boat.
Yeah. Oh, leather, you had leather jackets on.
Nah, but, you know, we got played.
I'm
really glad you guys you're able to have the courage to make the move. But, you know, you're young.
Yeah.
You're not anchored. No,
you know what I really say the difference is, though? I'm not going to lie. Google Maps, the difference maker. Just the fact alone that we could, like, look in the palm of our hand and click, okay, 18 hours away.
Yeah.
This is how we get there. Boom.
Yeah.
I swear to God that just that factor alone is a big catalyst.
Yeah, talking about? All we did was just drive on the road
to
the south.
I don't know if we'd be able to figure that out.
You would have done it.
We're pretty useless without Google Maps.
Nah, you would have figured it out.
Okay, can I just go back real quick? A couple people asked about – I can't switch over.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
There was a park in Brooklyn, Elmwood Park.
Okay.
Switch over.
Does that make sense or no?
Is that
where
that's
Prospect?
Prospect Park. That's it. Yeah. Did you guys do a lot of fishing in Prospect Park?
Check out our video, Brooklyn Catfish Adventure, and you'll see what we did in Prospect Park.
Oh, yeah.
We had a good time in Prospect Park. Prospect Park's a cool place, man. Like, that was the one spot, like, summer of 2020, when things were really going crazy in the city.
Yes.
There was, like, two cultures. There was the don't leave your house, don't do anything. And then there was whatever the hell was going on in Prospect Park, which was just like, that was like the area where they didn't bother you. They let you go and do your thing. So one day Eric and I decided, it was 100 degrees, and we decided like, yo, we haven't caught a fish in like 2 or 3 months. Like, let's go like check out Prospect Park.
Yeah.
So we go and buy that is awesome.
There you go. You look better with a patch, though.
I think I need a patch.
Yeah. Like, a patch and a bogey.
Yeah.
We go to Prospect Park with a pack of hot dogs and
cheese hot dogs.
Cheese hot dogs, yes. And like a hook of weight. And
that's awesome.
Eric probably brought a couple other things too. And like, we're having a great time over in Prospect Park. And we're just like, we're the only people there who didn't speak Spanish, and there's just like a million people there, and they're feeding us steaks. Like, we're literally walking around
carne asada,
and there's kids coming up to us like asking us where we're fishing. People are feeding us carne asada, and we just sat in Prospect Park for probably like what, 5 hours till it was dark,
maybe more,
5 months
with no bites with this piece of cheese hot dog, and we caught it. We caught a bullhead about this big as it was getting dark at like midnight. Like a little before midnight, and we pull this thing in. I promise you, that was like more exciting than any tarpin, snook, anything that we caught. We were so hyped
to see that when we got the rod out there, to see it get bit. Like, you know,
It was so exciting.
And then. And then one of the picnickers looked in the back seat in a Toyota Corolla, and he's passed out in the back sleeping.
I got barbed by this thing. It was so painful.
I thought I was going to have to take Johnny to the ER.
How'd you get it out?
Oh, I do. I just, you know, just yank it. And, like, this thing, like, I was like, bro, I got AIDS. Like, we got to get tested, man. Like, this is bad.
Yeah, but. Brooklyn Catfish. But, you know, Central Park, the Harlem Mirror. Dude, there's 6-pound bass in there.
I'm
so serious. We know the kids that catch them. Shout out to the NYC Bassmaster.
NYC
kids.
Lunkers and the boys, man.
Guys.
They're really good.
Japanese bassman, all the boys.
Let's get them on.
I went out one day and like didn't really know about like the culture, like the bass fishing culture. I met those kids for the first time, and I was in Central Park. Everything was iced over. It was like January, super cold. And there's actually a pond that has smallmouth in Central Park.
What?
And, a really cool little pond with smallmouth. And there was one patch where there wasn't ice, the deepest part. And I'm out there with my buddy. I'm like, yo, let's go drop shot at this little patch, see if we can pull out a smallmouth. Like, how cool would that be? So we go there. Sure enough, there's like 3 or 4 kids lined up drop shotting. Like 12, 13 years old drop shotting Central Park. I'm like, damn. I thought I was dialed, but like, wow. These kids are ahead of the game. So I start making my way over to them, and I'm like, sup, guys? Like, any room? And they're giving me this look like, you better back up. Like, you better get off our ice right now. I'm like, respect that. But I saw those kids out. I've had good conversations. Man, those kids are taking a bus from Staten Island to Central Park in the middle of winter, drop-shotting for 1-pound smallmouth. And now they're out there catching 800-pound bluefin.
Yeah.
What?
These kids, they ended up going to the high school, the Marine High School in New York. Harbor School, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And they're out there. They're all working on boats, catching 50-pound slobs, 800-pound bluefin with the Statue of Liberty in the background. Like,
dude, the tuna came closer to the shore than they've been in, like, forever.
Yeah.
That's true. Forever.
We were seeing that. Unbelievable.
2 miles off the beach.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. So as Uncle Larry's stuff as we do, man, what these kids are doing, like, that's always inspired me.
Just goes to show you, man, you could go up in a concrete jungle.
Oh, yeah.
If you got the bug, you got the bug.
Yeah. That's
and
right.
You might not even know that you have it. You got to go try, though. You got to go experience the world a little bit, because anyone could fall into that.
Yeah.
That's right.
I love that.
I do got to say this, though. Getting back to.
But probably just go golf.
Golf?
Don't get us started.
Yeah, stay off the lakes in South Jersey.
In general, though, you guys are living the dream. Would you say that? Because when I look, and it's not just me. Like, when I talk to Brian and with Dave, we're looking at your stuff, we're like, oh, these guys are living the dream.
I would say that, but at the same time, I would say it does not come without its fair share of sacrifice.
Nothing's free. Yeah, at dinner time, it looks like a UNICEF commercial. You guys are probably starving, no food.
You don't know about that little season.
People don't see.
A fly is crawling on Eric's eye.
I got to decide between a live Target mullet and feeding myself for the night. You know, these are real debates that have to happen in my mind.
Right.
And if you fish the spots that we fish, you would know that. that the live target mullet wins out every time.
It does.
You got to get the
over
mullet.
Food.
Over food.
Yeah. That's way more important.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we bartered fish.
But that's still simplistic.
Right. No, I did.
It's like very basic.
I did the most. I did the most Florida thing. It's funny because when I first moved down here, I envisioned doing stuff like this. But I did the most Florida thing I ever done. I bartered a slot snook for goods and services recently.
Wow.
Wait,
yeah.
What?
How about that?
What'd you get?
What kind of goods and services are you talking about?
You know, I mean, you know, my favorite thing in the world. Well, I got nice. I got
salad. Seiko's.
I got a
flammable salad.
Pack of 4-inch watermelon bread, Senkos.
That would be your second favorite.
Nah, he got one of them Ned rigs, brown ones.
That would be the second favorite.
Brown Ned rigs.
But I bartered it for a slot snook, and this is the type of stuff that I envisioned doing. I figured I really wouldn't need money when I was in Florida. You know, I just catch snook.
Convert the land. Yeah, and it's so bouncy.
But isn't that what this country was founded on?
It was.
Yes. Was it not?
And that's we're in the great primal city of Philadelphia where it all started. You feel that energy here.
It is. This brotherly love. Somebody brotherly love, Pete.
I got to add, where is the revenue coming from?
We don't make money.
Oh, yeah, we don't make anything.
We did just LLC.
We did.
This week, we...
By the way, what's the name of the GoFundMe so I can plug it here?
Uncle Larry's is now Uncle Larry's LLC. So if you would like to hit us up for filming services, for fishing guide services...
Absolutely.
You know, anything services. Yeah. Uncle Larry Outdoors.
It's legal.
Almost
your birthday party, all that.
Yeah, we'll show up. We'll show up at your party.
Whatever.
Yeah,
it's legal.
You know who's a good good model for that is Monster Mike. You got to admit, Mike has done amazing things.
Oh yeah.
Monster Mike's killing it, man.
Monster Mike's a legend.
He's in his own lane. He really has curated his whole own thing, and that's commendable. And at the end of the day, are we trying to do anything different?
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, if we put together Powerbait Paul's air fee, will you guys take him in for a week down there?
Yeah.
We can't guarantee he comes back. But we'll take
I
him
had
in.
This in my notes right here. This to me would be some of the most epic things. I would want to see this.
Okay, let's hear it.
Powerbait Paul in Tampa with Uncle Larry guys. Paul,
you ready?
Would you consider this?
Oh, yeah. Kai, microphone.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, absolutely.
You would consider this, Paul?
PBP visiting ULO? Heck yeah.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
We'll start him on some 100-level courses.
Yeah.
You know, we have a whole tier list.
Yeah.
We have a whole list of different places.
You guys would get along really good because you guys have some differences, but a lot of similarities, especially from a fishing aspect.
Listen, the first 3 months that we had that house down in Florida, it was the Uncle Larry's hotel.
I mean,
it was in and out, and I missed that era a little
bit. We didn't have one night from the night we moved in. Like, there was not one night from the night we started the lease for the first 4 or 5 months where there wasn't at least one guest, and everyone overlapped. We didn't have one night, and it was really cool.
That's cool.
We had people rotating in
you
and out.
You guys had Ant came in.
We had Brady.
Brady.
We had a bunch of my friends from Massachusetts. Yeah. Mark, who dropped
us
off,
was here for
a month.
It was people from all walks of our friendship.
Not just fishing.
Like fishing and non-fishing. It was like,
my boy Brett.
Right. No, it was like, you know what it was? Especially at the time, too, with the pandemic and everything going on. People really did start to see, like, they're really not following the grain. They're trying to live out their mid-20s to the fullest, and I want to be a part of that a little bit, you know? And it was really cool to see non-fishermen come out with us on what I would consider, like, 300-level Uncle Larry's courses. You know,
that's
like,
awesome.
we were taking people that never fished in their life out on some stuff that we might not have even done 6 months
ago. Because our one rule was sort of like, hey, like, you could come down, stay for free, do whatever you want, but just don't slow us down.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, I want to see what you're about. It's like, okay, well, there's 14-foot gators. We're going to hike 8 miles. So, like, if you're cool with that, then, like, by all means, man.
Oh, man.
And it's cool to put people in those elements, too, and just, like, you see what they're really about.
Yeah.
When you take people out like that.
Yeah.
And people really stepped up. It was cool.
That's so cool. So cool. Pete, doesn't this make you feel like you want to go back in time and engaged in some of this?
Yeah.
At that stage,
it was so different. This wasn't really available to us,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like,
but you you grew up with free love, right? In
'60s. Like, what, needing to work, Pete?
Needing to have a paycheck and a 401k.
our only path was professional angling,
right?
Or being a guide, right?
I guess. But that was foreign to me at that time, you know? Like, I didn't even realize that was a possibility. But it was like, it was pro angling, and that's it.
Yeah.
But But
yeah, the digital media part of it, the social part
has opened it, opened things up.
You know what's funny?
To do some really fun and cool stuff.
You got an engineering degree. They build stuff down there.
Well,
you know what's
funny? I mean, I didn't want to do that. I didn't really. I
don't
want to
work either.
You go through that Well, I just talked about this at the deal. It's like I'm working in this cubicle and I'm like, man, I'm going to do this. I got this opportunity to go fishing and I got to take it, because I can always go back to engineering. Yeah. I can always go back to the experience and do that thing. And that was 25 years ago. I've been fishing.
Crazy.
And I did it through that channel of professional fishing and then Bass University. We developed that. But it's so cool because I think about the times when I was young and I did the same thing. We looked on the topo maps.
Yeah.
We looked on the street maps.
Wow.
The street maps,
yep. Paper maps.
The street, the
physical
the paper
maps.
Street maps had water on them. It had the water was blue.
Yeah.
And we're like,
we're
the water was
the
blue.
The water was blue.
It was a squiggly line.
Can we quote that?
Water was blue.
Dude,
me and Dave, pal. Yeah. When we fished Shepherd's Mill the first time, that was paper map.
Paper map.
And it was a lake that might have had
a
something in front
in
of the road that with a chain on it.
Right.
Somehow we managed to get in there. And
right.
I tell you what, fish that don't see a lure.
Yeah. Different fish.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Fun fish.
I caught one that day on a slider head after the lizard got thrown off.
Just on the
I've
hook.
Told that you guys.
Yeah. I never understood why people put chains up and make me have to walk around them.
Yeah.
Hey, so the board really loves the idea of you going down to Florida, Paul. Here's some of the suggestions though. Some people are concerned with your skin tone in the sun.
Yeah.
One suggested
that you wear
a wetsuit
no
the entire
sunblock.
Time.
No, Larry's house.
No,
we don't do sunblock.
Nah, we're anti sunblock.
We'll get into that, Dave. Deep reasons.
What about natural mud?
Well, hold on, Kai. You gotta give him. Yeah. Hook him up with some sound.
Yo, that don't fly with me. I'll be redder than Ike's shirt over there.
Well, Paul, one person suggests in 1 month with those dudes, you'll have long hair, sunburn, and be talking about spiritual shit.
I can see that.
And then he said Paul would be a great wingman at the bar. Just listen to the broads bullshit and then be happy as a pig and shit to take the grenade.
What does that even mean?
Who's that? Who was that comment?
I'm taking some grenades over the years.
That's being a good friend.
That's being a good friend.
Got a man up.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Paul, learn like
Paul is a spiritual guy, by the way.
We'll take you out to Ybor City, man. We'll have a time talking about spiritual.
The only couple Spanish words I know are like bendejo and puto.
Me gusta. That's all you need.
What do you think Florida is, Paul? You think you're going into like Little Havana? Like what?
Yes.
What do you think you're doing?
But where are we talking? Yeah.
I live in Bridgeton, which is like Little Mexico. So I'm kind of
Bridgeton and Havana are very similar.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm the same height as them, so
you know,
I'll fit right in. It's great, Dan.
Amigo.
See you, senor.
You're ready for Ybor City, man.
This is like an Ike Live.
Let me tell you though,
they're gonna be
big, and they're gonna be like jiggly. So just like be ready, like we're gonna have a great time. Just you might not want to come back.
Oh.
It's going to be all over you, Paul. It's going to be all over you.
That's going to be hard to come back.
You're going to be a catch, Paul.
Yeah. If you can't make it, I'll go in your place, Paul.
Because everyone needs the old guy with them in the bar to spruce things up.
To make things awkward and weird. And,
to make things completely awkward. Weird.
Put your hands under your armpits and shake back and forth.
That's right.
It always works, too.
When I was your age, you were watching Full House live.
I don't even get that joke, but the fucking delivery
are you kidding
spot
me?
On. Everything Dave says is hilarious.
Full House has been off the air in 25 years. So when I was your age, 20, you were watching live episodes of Full House, meaning the kid was 5.
Your math's way off.
But you said
25, dude. Like you got
Dave's not good
15,
with math, but
years,
he's a good
right?
dude.
You're talking more like the Twilight Zone live, I think.
Let's not critique your joke.
That's Pete.
Yeah.
Pete would be more Twilight Zone because he's got us by like almost 10 years.
5 years, man. I just look like
I'm the same age. We went to school together. I sat next to you in biology.
No, you definitely didn't sit next to me in biology.
No, Pete.
Oh, okay.
Dude, Jake just dissected a cow's eye.
What?
In biology.
Really? What?
Oh, my gosh. They're cutting it open, and he was describing it to me, and he's cutting it with the scissors, and the black goop starts piling out of the eyeball.
Wait. Oh, man. In front of you?
No, in his biology class.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
You know?
Yuck. Like,
man.
Oh, man.
It's crazy.
He loved it.
The desensitization of the youth.
Yeah. Great. That's a third segment.
So I got a third segment. I do gotta put this one through. I'm just looking real quick, scrolling through. This is from the Ike Live Facebook page, and this is Bruno. I can't make this up. Bruno Duffield chimes in. Do you know him?
No, but
Bruno,
I expected more vowels on the end of that.
It's Bruno Duffield.
Carry
says,
on.
What I like about the Uncle Larry guys, you guys are regular dudes.
You guys.
Yeah,
thank you, Bruno.
Yeah. You guys are regular dudes.
I eat Panda Express just like you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think, honestly, I think that's a great comment, because I think that is something you guys are very successful what you're doing, because you are regular dudes, right? Yeah. There are a lot of – Pete, there's a lot of other social media, digital – kids, young adults doing this, but they're like not, they don't feel like regular dudes.
Yeah, they're,
you know,
they're
what I mean?
They're pandering to the camera. They're
yeah,
not.
Yeah, they're,
I'll say this. It's like at the end of the day, and I think that you could tell this about Uncle Larry Outdoors if you watch any of the content. We're doing this without the cameras.
Oh, yeah.
It's like this is just who we are.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it happens that the cameras are on.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, you love it. We love it. Like, we went on it was a cool moment, Brian. We went on our old man trip a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we got back from an epic day of fishing, and we FaceTimed you guys. And we were just, you know, talking about that experience of when you get back from that epic day. And, dude, it was – you could tell. You saw it and what was going on.
Yeah.
And I see it in you guys when you have those days. And that's – dude, that's cool, man.
You gave us some dangerous advice that day.
I did, didn't I? Yeah, you want to –
He looked right at the camera.
Yeah.
And he was like, it doesn't matter.
I may have had a couple cocktails too, let me just –
He's like, it doesn't matter if you got $2 or $2 million. The fishing – comes first.
Yeah.
No matter what. Yeah. The fishing comes first. Yeah.
I wish Becky was here right now.
Right,
because Mike's not going fishing until all the business is
done. Let's get a time stamp on this so we can delete it.
Right after the
product.
Right after the 4 years completed.
That's
and
right.
Then we can go fishing.
All right. So who's ready to play a game? Ready to play a game?
Come on.
I got a little game. It's not really a game, but I got a little thing we're going to do. We're each going to go around, and I want each of us to give an answer.
Okay.
So for Kai, E, and Johnny, for you guys, I'm going to go this way. So if E uses one that you were going to use, you have to go to a different one. That's the only thing, okay? All right. So, and this game, the title of this one, Pete, I got a note about
it right
here.
You start with me?
I'm going to start with you. This
yes.
is for all of
Guinea
us.
Pig.
Is your top adventure or fishing moment in 2022. This is the Christmas special. We got New Year's right on the heels of New Year's.
That's bullshit, dude, because I'm last.
You are last.
Always.
But no. I'll use a...
Wait. So what? My top adventure can't be what my top adventure is because you're in front of me?
No. Because I won't use the one
game,
I know
Michael.
You're going to use.
Dumbass game.
Be quiet.
All right, fair enough.
All right, Pete, let's go. Top fishing adventure or fishing moment in 2022.
The first one that popped into my head was when I fell in the Chesapeake.
Absolutely.
Well, I would agree with that.
That's
100%.
I would agree with that.
But that's not an adventure.
but that's not a fishing adventure.
It's not.
It's not.
That's an adventure. You're scuba Pete.
Dude, I took out Jake and three of his boys, 12 to 13 years old, and I put my motor on spot lock, and we caught 54 bass.
What?
Those boys caught 54 bass.
That's incredible.
In about an hour, and they still talk about
it.
That's
every cast.
It was every
cast,
other cast.
Right?
They were competing.
Man.
They were fighting with each other. They were arguing about who had the best spot in the boat. Well, he's in the front of the boat. He's getting better. And he's in the back.
Yes.
He's getting access. And they were rotating.
Were you in New York?
Wrestling. Chesapeake. It was like, it was going down on a corner, little eelgrass edge, and they were stacked. They were 12 to 16 inch bass.
Wow. Okay.
Just wow. Nice bass, and they caught.
So cool.
They caught 54 of them. Wow. That, no doubt, my best moment.
Yep.
In 2022.
Very cool. That's very sick. Cool. E, give it to us. What do you got?
I think I already touched on it, but to me, it would definitely be that moment in October when we were skunking for like 3 weeks straight.
Yeah.
And then Kai and I decided to do something totally out of left field. We're like, let's go infiltrate this water that just looks impenetrable.
You know,
we don't even know how we're going to get into this
spot.
And it took us about, say we launched at 7, we didn't get into the spot until noon. And that feeling
when
I was throwing that spook along that first grass line after not catching fish for a month straight, and that first small snook came up and slapped it, I just remember looking at Kai like, oh, what's going on here?
Oh, yeah.
And then 100 snook later, we were looking at each other.
Holy smoke.
Oh, there's
now
something
that,
happening.
Man. Now this
and
is...
that's what I'm saying. You cannot replace that feeling.
Yeah.
We really did not know. And we've been struggling for so long. And that, I remember looking at Kai in that moment and being like, yo, take this in, because this is a once in a lifetime feeling right now, because from now on we're going to go into this spot and we're going to know what to expect. But this was the only moment where we truthfully did
virgin
not know
spot.
And then it turns into what it turned into. So that would be mine, I think.
Yeah,
sure.
That place is unbelievable. By the way, that's the place that you guys filmed a couple of the Ike Live promos you did for us, right? Mm-hmm. Correct?
Because
maybe. Because allegedly. Here's the thing. In a normal world, Pete knows when you're trying to do a promo to catch a fish on a cast, it might take you like 10 days to get it. And you guys are like, let's do an Ike Live promo.
Yeah.
So watch Ike Live this Saturday night. It's going to be go clonk.
You know what's
you
funny?
Did it. Guy did it.
You know what's funny?
That's
shout
amazing.
Out,
come
to,
on,
man. Shout out to Luke Duncan, because Luke Duncan messaged
Duke
the
Lunkin.
Duke Lunkin. Yeah. Luka Doncic messaged the page. And he was like, I'm just here to find out how many tries that took. And I think Johnny messaged back. He's like, yeah, bro, honestly, that took like one try.
Dude, it was a no-look cast.
Yeah. It was a terrible cast. It wasn't even near anything. It was just out in the
didn't
middle.
Didn't matter.
No, it did take some trial and error, though, to get to that. It took a little trial and error.
Some blooper videos. Man.
Oh, man, I got to tell you. All right, I got to tell you mine real quick. I want to say this real quick, and I won't. I know the one you're going to say, but I won't steal it.
Go ahead.
This has been the best and worst fishing year I've ever had in my life. From a competitive standpoint, it was a horrible year for me. But my fishing experiences and trips I took this year, dude, fucking mind-blowing, dude. Mind-blowing. And I took 3 of them in 1 year, which is incredible. Like,
that's
life-changing
cool.
trips, you know? So, Italy for sure was one.
Yeah.
Going to Venice, I'm going to let Brian keep that one, was one. But fishing in the Bahamas and catching snook on a fly is
bonefish.
Bonefish.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Bonefish on a fly is incredible. Yeah. Dude, the fish is that fucking big. That's all he is. Mm. Dude, I've never seen runs like that from a fish that weighs less than 3 pounds.
Wow.
Incredible. Yeah. Just I'll just never forget it the rest of my life. You know? So that's my top fishing moment.
I've never caught a bonefish. Always wanted to.
We still haven't reached that gap either.
Amazing. Amazing fish. Amazing fish. Johnny?
I think my favorite was, because I'm not going to take that snook spot. That's the best fishing we've done. And these guys really grinded for that spot and took me in there. But when I was in Sweden, you know, I'm in this country. I've never been there before. People there, like, they fish, but, like, finding people who fish on our level is difficult. And, like, I wanted to really get out there and figure it out.
Yeah.
So I'm doing the Google Maps thing, and I find this spot where I'm like, you know, theoretically, I feel like salmon would run up and they couldn't get past this wall. So I'm going to go to this wall. So I take a drive, go to this wall, no idea where I am, middle of nowhere, and I hike up and down this mountain by myself. And the one kid who I went out there from the States with, he does everything with me. Like, Kai and I have been on crazy adventures with him, and he's like, you know what, that spot's like looks a little bit much. Like, I don't even think I'm going to come. So I think you should go by yourself. So I do this all by myself, and I get down there, and I fish this spot 3 or 4.
Yeah, that looks dangerous. Why don't you go by yourself?
I go 3 or 4 times before I get anything, and I'm going up and down this mountain. The whole thing takes a long time, and finally, I'm like, you know what? This is it. This is the spot in Sweden.
Yeah.
And finally, on like the last time I'm there, it's just like a National Geographic day. I'm down there by myself in the rain, and I'm hooking into pike after pike. I land my first 40-plus-inch pike, and I'm like fighting it in the rocks. And that was just such a cool moment for me. It was just holding up this like fish that there is like – Like, that's what people go to Sweden to do, is like pike fish.
Yeah.
And so I have this trophy fish in my hands, and right when I'm landing it, I see the salmon run in front of my face, just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of wild salmon just jumping. And I go back, tell all my friends from there, I'm like, listen, you got to come down with me and just check it out. So then we go down that week. Don't bring any rods. Don't bring any gear. I'm just like, let's just go watch the salmon. So we go.
What the fuck is wrong with you, dude?
Brian was choked. He just choked.
Dude, I mean,
how could you do that?
Because when I was there the first time, I tried to catch them, and I was like, I have no idea how to get these things to bite. Like, they're trying to spawn, and I'm like, I'm not going to go down there with trebles and try and snag them. I'm like, that's 2020, Uncle Larry's. We're in 2022.
I'm not ready for
elevation.
It, man.
Elevation. Elevation.
You had to floss them.
Plus, honestly, I was so broke, and the only thing I had was like a giant spoon. And I'm like, well, I can't really go buy salmon gear. It's going to be like $50, man. Like,
I'm turning a rock over and finding a salamander or whatever they have over there.
Dude, don't get me wrong. I took a couple casts with a spoon right out of them. Like,
it's like, dude, I'm not going. Going to a gunfight without a gun. You got to take a
rock. Landing that pike and just like. Like you said, like there's nothing that replaces finding it on your own. On my own, but across the ponds, like had no idea what I was
totally
doing.
Totally foreign place.
And I was like, you know what? I guess I'm getting kind of good at this shit. Because I feel like between the three of us, these guys are the better fishermen. Eric's taught me everything I know from the ground up. And when I met Kai, I was like, this kid's got it. Like he's just got something that a lot of us don't. So that was a cool moment for me to like reflect. Like I did, like you did that on your own.
Yep.
You're in
taking
somewhere you've never
been. Taking
little
pieces of what you learned from these guys. Yes. That's
but you're way funnier, Johnny.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Savage wit.
Yeah. Paul, give it to us. Top. I know you got a lot because you had a really good year, Paul.
Amazing.
Give us your top moment of 2022. Hard to select one, but give us one, Paul.
Well, it's not about my biggest fish of the year, because I've caught several, at least probably about four or five bigger than that one. But probably my favorite moment is the first tournament with Brian the Carpenter.
Ah! Of course.
That was my first tournament, first time fishing with BTC, and that 4-pound bass I put in the boat, that was my first bass caught in a boat.
Whoa! Oh, wow. Whoa!
Oh, yeah!
Your first boat bass ever.
Exactly.
Wow.
That was a memorable
Pete,
one.
Pete, did you know that?
No.
I enjoyed the hell out of that.
I didn't know that either.
Nice belly on, hooked him on a Berkeley Power Worm, what I'm famous for. I'm
hell
like,
yeah.
I'm like, nah,
Power Bay Paul.
Nah, nah.
You got it. Yeah. It's trademark.
I was stoked. And I was about to get all excited and freak out like you. And Brian's all like,
I'm like, yeah, there'll be 20 boats.
Okay.
Yeah. Is he not the, is he not like.
Brian, it's a Malaga Lake Thursday nighter. Calm down.
Is he not one of the purest souls? It's like he's been in a coma for 54 years. And woke up with like no bad stuff in his life. Just
not
pure delivery, man.
Oh, well, I haven't known you that much, Dave. So, you know, once the longer I know you, the more I'll get filled with
salt. I'll see some salt on you. Come on, man.
Well, Dave, he listens to me.
What'd he say? Hold on. What'd I miss? Did I get hammered?
Yeah.
Stay pure, Paul.
Stay pure.
I'll try to. You two are making it hard, though.
Yeah. Wait a minute. That could be your tagline.
Stay pure, Paul.
Power bait, Paul. Stay pure. That's your tagline.
How about just power bait, pure?
Quick. Text James Riley. I got to write this down. Hold on. Wow. I need to write this down. Power bait, Paul. Stay pure.
You sure it has nothing to do with the fact that I'm the whitest person any of you has ever met?
No, it's like when Brandon Fraser came out of the bomb bunker. He was just this nice guy that no one didn't know nothing about the world because he was down there in a nuclear bomb bunker.
Oh my gosh. Thanks. Thanks. Oh, well.
That's a movie quote, right?
I am complimenting you, dude. This is my rip.
Brandon Fraser.
Yeah, remember the movie where
movie.
He was.
Yeah.
What movie was that?
I forget too.
Something.
This is
a Casino Man or something?
No. That was when he was a caveman, dude.
Yeah, that was a caveman.
I saw that movie.
I just.
Did you just call me a caveman?
No. Paul, that was that comment was out of sincere adoration for you.
And,
okay.
And
it's hard to tell with you.
Last month hitting you pretty hard. So
I saw Brian's face when Paul was telling the story about his most impactful moment.
Yeah.
And Brian was struck by it.
Yeah.
No, you know, like cool. Yeah, he delivered Paul's moment of the year and was part of that.
Pretty cool.
I saw that in his face.
Super cool.
I fathered and I fought many children not to do it.
You're welcome, BTC.
All right.
Wait, I got to get a pic after the show with me, Eric, and Paul.
Oh yeah, your two children. Guy, what's top moment?
A top moment.
You had a lot too.
Probably. I'd have to say it was during times of us taking the trips onto the hilly.
Oh wow!
It was a rough period for me. This is when Johnny was in Sweden, and like we were trying to figure out like what the hell we were about to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Money was tight. I don't think we had AC at the time. I think they might have cut the water off at the crib. We might have had Wi-Fi, maybe, possibly.
Borrowed Wi-Fi.
It was rough. It was a rough time, and we had chalked it up to just like, yo, might as well just go first.
Yeah.
Fishing comes first.
Right. Might as well. Fishing always comes first.
Son of
as it should.
Look at that.
So you're the worst, dude. That is literally the worst advice ever.
Oh my god. Life is short, man. Life is short.
You're right.
You gotta do those things.
You're right.
That was really our mindset.
No food, no money.
Our pets' heads are falling off.
No AC.
We're gonna lose the house.
Crying out loud.
The car is going away. Let's go fishing.
Eric's tracker is like on his last. This is the last trip.
We're pulling out of the driveway, and my power steering on the Jeep is just going.
The outboard might start up. Yeah. Like, we're pulling up to the boat ramp, like hoping, like please turn over.
Dude, everything's going to shit. The bitches aren't even coming around.
We got the bitches, Mike.
Violent propane.
That's not even in the picture.
No bitches.
But go fishing. Wait a minute. Are the bitches coming around?
Well, we had no power, so we can't bring no bitches to the house. We got no power. That's not a good look. We ain't got no lights.
Dude, you gotta have power. Candle power, dude. Candles. Pete trying to relate to the youth. Yeah. You got them bitches. No, man. Ready, go. Pete relating to the young men.
How do you tell a girl that for real though? Like, maybe you can come over, but like it could be a little dark.
Maybe
you
know,
if you want to check your Instagram, you're probably not going to be able to do that.
Yeah, Mike.
You know, if you need some water, Mike, we're going to have to go to the store.
Yeah. Pete Takai, yo, you got them thoughts up in his house? Kind of relate to the youth.
Oh my god.
I don't know what that means.
Like, what did you do, Peter? That was what Kai said to you. He's like, I don't even talk like that, Pete. What are you talking about?
Come on, dude. That's kind of stereotypical. I'm not gonna lie.
Hey,
It depends what kind of mood you get, Kai. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, you gotta catch me on the right. I'm in a good mood today.
He'll break it out.
I ain't seen no government tyranny today, so I'm chilling.
Yo, so
but
Dave called me out on this way back in the day when like I had my house by myself in Glassboro.
With the white van?
Yeah. No, I had a Ranger.
Oh.
But hanging at the Glassboro bars with the college girls, and Dave would come up from working at I was 24, 25. And Dave was coming up from corrections, so I'd meet him at Main Street or whatever. And, I guess I was pretty hammered one night, but I tried using the line, I got AC. The dragon one out of there. I don't know. I thought you were gonna hit me with that. Because Main Street didn't have AC, man. That place was a dive. I'm like, yo, I got AC.
Yo, AC.
That's hilarious.
It won't make you comfortable.
I don't think it worked.
So Kai, what was your favorite moment?
Oh yeah,
we got off on the stage.
Oh man, yeah. So you know, yeah, like I said, rough times. Okay, none of that. We go out to the Hillsboro. Right idea. You know,
allegedly.
let's just go get dialed on this river, man. Like, what else are we gonna do? And this was a river we've had, like, great success at in the past. Like, some of the best bass fishing we've done from the tracker in Florida. And it's such a unique environment. Like, it's literally the spot we go up into is like a creek. It's literally a creek, like, skinnier than the Passaic. And it's just – it's loaded. But we go in this day,
it is different. Like, the water level's lower. It's not moving as much. Super clear. And we can see the bass, but they're just not eating. They're not moving the same way. Like Eric said earlier, one of those bites we thought we'd be able to just go back and replicate it. And
forever
it wasn't,
and ever.
Right, yeah. And it wasn't quite like that. And we're grinding it out for, I think, a few hours that morning without a bite. Yeah,
mind you, we're seeing so many fish.
And we're seeing the fish. So that's what's physically fucking with us.
Six,
right.
Seven,
dude,
eight pounds.
That's frustrating.
We're seeing. Wow. That's the worst
giant
feeling.
Yeah,
and they're just not wanting
anything
to do with anything. And I remember going to one of the tackle boxes Bud Cipolletti gave us, and he had a bunch of random, like, fire-ass mega bass shit.
Damn, Bud's throwing out mega bass?
Well, technically, that's a long story.
Never mind. Carry on.
Thanks, Bud. Thanks, Bud. It's there.
Shout out to Bud.
Shout out to Bud.
Well, he didn't ask for them back.
Moving on.
Thanks, Bud. Thanks, sir.
So I'm going through this tackle box, and I see this little, like, it looks like a little lipless kind of sort of little perch, bluegill color lipless.
Yeah.
Real small profile. I'm like, yeah, I think this might get big, because we're throwing, like, what, chatter baits and spinner baits.
Oh, the works.
You know,
everything.
Trying to power fish them, and they're just not having it. I'm like, maybe I got to finesse them a little bit. And we're coming down the creek, and I'm throwing this thing around, and I'm liking the, you know, the movement on it. It's like a little twitch bait, almost, like a little suspended twitch bait. Twitch it. And I was using the reel to twitch it. I wasn't even doing it with, like, my wrist.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, like, something should fucking smack this thing. And this happened to be one of, like, the best, like, videos on Unks. It freaking blew up. But I cast into this pool. We were seeing some, like, 2-pounders schooled up. And sure enough, they wanted nothing to do it. And in the video, I'm like, yo, like, these things are going to eat it. Like, I'm trying to force feed them. And I cast it back in there. And sure enough, twitch. And we just see, like, Moby Dick, like, fucking whale just came up. And just swallowed it, dude. And, like, it was...
It's like a 7-pounder.
It was like a 7-pounder.
No, I remember in the video, I'm watching this bait go by these 2-pounders. Like, and I'm looking at it, like, I say, like, dude, that looks right. And meanwhile, the 2-pounders are looking at it like, you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you really going to throw that in there? You
know, like, they didn't even move.
And then, like, in the midst of these 2-pounders, it's clear as day, this freaking 7-8-pounder just comes up from beneath them and just fucking destroys it.
That's crazy.
8-pound test, too. Light line.
8-pound test, too.
That's what's up.
Epic.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That was rewarding.
Life changer.
Awesome.
Dave Brodzik.
I'll go last. Let Brian go.
Okay, Brian DeCarpenter, top fishing moment, 22?
Hmm.
He had all this time.
I know. He had all this time.
I was enjoying everybody's stories. I mean, it's got to be fishing in Venice.
Yeah.
It's just disgusting.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. I don't know. Do I need to go on about it?
No, but it's disgusting.
Yeah. Give us a quick. Dave's
quick.
Better.
Yeah, tell us about that. Yeah. That
Dave, tell my story.
Yeah.
Could you? This is a good opportunity to talk about your freight bill that you received for your fish.
Oh no, I didn't receive it.
Tom
did. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So we actually kept some fish. So we kept
shipped them
we
back
kept trout, and we kept some redfish, a few slot reds, and we, you know, we had this plan. We were going to ship all this fish back, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, and how many times do you get to go somewhere and catch fish to actually keep them, bring them home and eat them? So we ship this fish back.
Yeah.
So we were going to go to the place. There's a marina near where we stayed, but then the guy the last day talked us into, no, on your way back to the airport, stop at this supermarket.
Yeah, which isn't very super.
Supermarket.
Just market.
They do it there, and they're real good. I know them guys.
They clean your fish?
No, we already had them filleted. They put them,
vacuum seal.
Vacuum seal them and put them in dry ice and ship them.
Okay.
And, all right, so yeah, okay, I guess we'll do that. So we get there, and, you know, dude, we're exhausted, but we want to get this fish home. We get there, like, nobody's helping us. We can't find, we're fucking wheeling it around. We're wheeling 100 pounds of fillets.
Coolers and coolers?
Not even coolers. They're just fillets laying in a shopping cart.
What?
No,
bags.
Bagged up for us.
And we're wheeling it through. Finally, we get, you know, we talk enough people. We're like, oh, you got to go back here. We go back in this room. Nobody's helping us. All of a sudden, this fucking dude that looks like he's, well, how would you describe him, Bri?
Heroin.
Heroin guy.
I think heroin I would describe
him. I would say it's heroin.
Or
drug
something.
Of choice.
It's like, I'll help you. The guy that's normally doing it
Zap he's, sick.
He's got the Narcan needle hanging out of his trap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So the whole time we were like, we kind of knew right there. Like I looked at Brian, looked at me, I'm like, we're fucked. but we're there, and it came recommended. So he takes our information down on a notebook, like our addresses, and you know.
There's no way I'm eating that fish.
Yeah, and then so we tried explaining like, okay, here's how we want it shipped. We want half of it shipped to this address. We want the other two split in half and shipped to these two addresses. You know, so simple mathematics here, right? Mm-hmm. He's looking like couldn't understand the amount we want shipped to where.
It's just
So anyway, make a long story short, we leave.
The fix was in.
We leave and just days go by and days turn into weeks and weeks turn into more. No fish.
Oh, it's gone.
No fish, dude. Finally, but we keep harassing the guy that recommended this place.
Yeah. Oh man.
So then, finally, out of the blue, all of a sudden, fish shows up
at Tom's. First, Tom gets a package.
Weeks later. Oh yeah, gets a package.
Dude, that's crazy.
But he gets like a very minute amount of fish. Like, huh, that's weird. Well, maybe we'll all get.
Yeah, they're like three bags or something.
Yeah, and then. A couple, 3-4 days later, I get my fish.
Same amount.
Like a small, little amount. Like, damn, well, maybe Brian and John will get the big amount, you know? Yeah. Brian never got his.
Well, it's because I never gave my address. It was coming to your house.
And then John gets it, but the dry ice is gone. It's not frozen. It's
room temperature.
It's called water.
Then Tom gets a bill.
Wait, another week later.
A week later, Tom gets a bill for $500 for all the shipping, and he pays it outright. And I'm like,
what?
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
But we got some fish.
Did anybody ever eat fish, man?
Mike,
I did.
How was it?
Really good.
Yeah, well, I didn't get
it. Phenomenal. I ate the trout.
I'd be scared to death.
Phenomenal. You smell it. Fish don't lie to you when it's bad.
Yeah.
True. You know?
I think it sat in a freezer somewhere.
It's at
the
freezer.
They forgot about us. You know?
Well, it was over Thanksgiving
somebody's pond
holiday. So
the dude
finally came back from vacation that was supposed to ship it, and then he held off shipping it because of Thanksgiving, and it would get delayed, and this, that, and the third, and I never got any fish. Mm. But,
All right, so that's your story?
Who?
BTC?
My story was not getting fish.
Top fishing moment of the year.
Not getting his fish.
Not getting fish.
Yeah. All right, Dave, give it to us. What do you
got? Yeah, no, so mine this year involves my personal best.
Mm. Oh! Hey.
Fishing? Yes.
What?
You fished?
Let's go!
So listen. Listen. I was in the town of Lim Green on Lake Larnia.
What?
And it's where I slayed the dragon Aguil and got the dragon heart incantation spell for Elden Ring on Lake Larnia.
Are you speaking English?
I'm talking Elden Ring.
Is that a video game?
Oh, yeah.
Paul, do you know what it is?
The best video game on earth, dude.
Oh, that's where you caught your
PB? That's my PB. I slayed a dragon, dude. I had like this small window yesterday in my entire day to try to talk to Dave about like tonight's show. And I couldn't break through, dude. He was on a quest.
Oh, yeah.
He had to find this. She got slayed, so I actually found her dad in the Castle of Morn. And by the time I got back to her to give the dad's message, someone fucking killed her, dude. Well, you know what? She was in a puddle of
blood.
While
I was worried about your bullshit.
So who done it?
I got to figure it out.
Should we be worried about Dave?
Yeah. So while I'm trying to get through to him, you know, talk to him. I drive home. On my 22nd anniversary and drove right past, you know, flowers and showed up in my driveway. And I was like, fuck. Anyhow, it wasn't good.
It wasn't good.
It was not ideal.
Damn.
That's it. That's my story.
That's a good story. Well, there were some good moments, Pete.
Ended that off with a bang, for sure.
Well, yeah,
did you catch a fish this year?
A couple.
Come on, dude.
I did.
Come on.
I did catch a couple. Is that what you're doubting?
Nah, it's just like, I feel like... You got
the fact that it's just a couple.
You got to fight off the evil. I need you back fishing.
No, that's not evil.
Yeah, no. The forces of evil.
Paul, you 100% caught way more fish than Dave this year.
Oh, he did.
100%. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't doubt it either.
It's amazing.
It's not even a matter of contention. What are you even looking back at me talking for?
Am I
Go ahead, Paul.
All right. Yeah, because I'm going
to
unleash.
Am I not allowed to look at you, Dave?
You are, because we're not within 500 feet of a school zone.
So. Wow. Oh, we got to go to commercial break. Wow. It never stops with this guy. It never stops.
Poor guy.
Honestly.
Paul, you got to cut him a break. He's living in a video game.
Elden World.
Elden World.
Elden Ring. Right.
Brian, let's take a break. Brian, let's take another pee break. Yeah. We're going to come back in the third segment. We got some more cool stuff coming up. Maybe
we're going to give
guest.
Yes.
Right? We might have a mystery guest.
Oh, can I? Someone made a great idea for us for maybe in the future. To have like an Ike Live Fantasy Island, like I guess maybe like
Fuck Island.
What would your Fantasy Island be? You know what I mean?
Oh,
I don't know how long
one.
That would take, but everyone would have to come up with an idea. Uh-huh. Fishing
like
related, right?
Like,
fishing
like,
related fantasy.
Why is it gotta be
fishing
related? It's my fantasy.
It's my. No fish in your fantasy.
Carry on.
Okay, we're gonna take a little break. When we come back, we got some special stuff coming up, and we're gonna be doing an unboxing. MTB unboxing. We might actually do two. We got a lot of people on the set tonight, so we might do two unboxings. And Dave. What do you got?
We got Dave After Dark. Come on,
Dave After Dark.
I'm shutting off all the microphones because you're wrapping up. Now you're throwing it around the room.
Okay, throw it around the room. All right, hang in there. When we come back, more Ike Life.
Remember back in the day, Pete would have been took that.
You know, right now where we're standing, we're in Camden, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is right there. This is the concrete jungle. And, you know, a lot of those kids, as they grow up, they don't fish. It's interesting because they're surrounded by water. You know, the Delaware River, the Schuylkill, ponds, city park lakes. But they don't have the influence to cast, to fish, to have a rod and reel. And that really, that became our focus, you know, is to target kids in what we call non-traditional areas, you know, urban areas, city centers, where the population's high, and let these kids have an experience. You know, it's amazing. I mean, some of the experiences we've had, whether it's Central Park in New York City, here in Camden, other parts of the country, even just casting.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to see it, isn't it?
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
And you know, you see these kids have this experience they've never had, and they light up, you know? The big thing, I think, for the Ike Foundation is we're not saying we want all these kids to become professional anglers.
No. It'd
be great if some of them did, but we want them to have that fishing experience because it ties them to so many other positive things. The outdoors, nature. Conservation, ecology, you know, all these amazing things in life that maybe they wouldn't have been exposed to any other way, we're trying to help with that. So it's important. It's important for us. Yeah. We're proud of it.
Four and a half inch drop shot worm, Bama bug. Finesse jig, PB&J, give me something hard. Hey, KVD here. Now, I didn't always know this much about fishing. It's a 4-aught EWG worm hook. In fact, there was a time when I couldn't tell the difference between a jerkbait and a stickbait. But then I signed up for Mystery Tackle Box, the original monthly tackle subscription. And now I know more about fishing than I do about Calculus.
And he knows a lot about Calculus.
Plus, I get amazing extras, like free fishing magazines. October 2016. Featured article, 4 places to throw a frog. Exclusive decals. Zombie bass. And how-to videos for all the great baits I receive. How to tune a crankbait. Is that underwater footage I smell?
I got goosebumps.
So if you're looking to develop enhanced fishing abilities like me, or you just like getting new tackle every month, go to MysteryTackleBox.com and get your box today. Ooh, live minnows. Is it lunchtime already? Nature's candy. Oh.
At Founders Brewing, we asked ourselves, what if we brewed a beer perfect for any occasion? A beer that makes a weekday feel more like the weekend. And the weekend feel more like an adventure. What if we brewed a beer that brought us together and allowed us to be ourselves? A beer that is just as much of a companion as it is a reward at the end of the journey. What if we explored the unknown together and found a new way? What if we celebrated taste and flavor and life's simple pleasures? And what if we brewed a beer that could go where you go without slowing you down? What if? Founders All Day IPA. Low ABV and full flavor that goes where you go. Chase your what if.
All right, Brian. Torquedo today. We've got the Ike Live Tiny Boat out. I want to tell you, this is not just for electric-only reservoirs. It's for other things as well. Today is a great example. Where are we? What are we going to take this thing through today?
The Upper Susquehanna.
Upper Susquehanna River.
That's right.
Current, rock, lots nasty bottom. Yep. And we're going to use Torquedo.
Everybody else running jet drives. We've got the rock guard on the Torquedo. We're going to some small spots.
Yeah.
Get in there. We're going to make it happen.
There you go.
Let's go.
Shallow water, speed, strength, power. Come on. Let's
consistency.
Go.